Hey! Welcome to the podcast. The podcast is Zero Issues. I am Merc.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Bri.
Welcome to it.
Zombies Ate My Neighbors sort of vibe.
Ooh. That's my favorite kind of vibe.
Zibe.
Well,
Zibe. That's my favorite kind of Zima.
It's a zombie vibe.
You know what? You know what that game had? It had two players, and one was a boy, and one was a girl.
It's true.
Now, if we could only get that kind of fair balance in the whole world.
I feel like, population-wise,
you should.
Oh,
you should. That should be a natural thing.
Do you know in the if you got a game over screen, I forget which one it was, I think the Sega one had blood, but the Super Nintendo one had, like, purple goo in it.
Yes.
It's like, oh, is there a lot of purple goo in this game? And I'm pretty sure there wasn't.
Oh, well, yeah, that was the original name of it. Zombies Ate My Purple Goo.
But it took a whole different turn.
I was saving it! It was great.
It's not much of a game.
Purple goo!
Like, time to check on my purple goo, and zombies are eating it, and she's like,
oh, shit! Damn it!
It took me years to get all that purple goo.
Timmy the zombie ate it all.
Yeah.
Oh. That has nothing to do with what we're...
Oh, we're cutting that. That's gone.
Yeah? Right.
Yeah. Now we're talking about, the blood of Grimace.
Yeah.
He died for your McNuggets.
Okay.
No, he liked milkshakes, I think. Is that Grimace's thing? That was like the original four-armed Grimace? When he was Goro Grimace?
Based on the shape of his body, I assume he loved milkshakes, yes. He's like a gumdrop body.
So should we just reintroduce?
Oh, that was all cold.
That's... we're starting to lightly broach the subject.
Right.
It's a hard subject.
We can just get right into it. I mean, we're talking kind of more about kind of just... How do you describe it as just like a one-off kind of a topic thing? I mean, it's sort of...
It's an ongoing issue. This is a bigger issue, but this has been stemmed from a specific incident.
It's sort of representation and uneven, like, sexualization and stuff like that. I mean, it's just...
Okay, what we're talking about, specifically what sparked this and what we will be talking about is, what's his name, Milo Manara?
Yes.
Did an alternate or a variant cover for... Spider-Woman, one of the upcoming issues of Spider-Woman, and for some reason this particular one, which I don't know why this particular one, I get it, but it's weird that it's this particular one. I guess maybe just timing, whatever. This one has sparked the mainstream media to suddenly flare up and jump on it and be like, this is an unfair representation of women, of like sexualizing them.
Yes.
And... Can we all say right off that we agree with that?
That is a thing? That's a problem?
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just say that, because...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I totally agree. I find it weird that it's that particular one, because there are 100 examples that are worse than that.
Even from him specifically, I mean... It's hard to say if that's the worst one or not, but he's done a lot of variant covers over the years for Marvel with, like, the female characters that are, again, kind of, like, posed in a sexual way and, scantily clad, what have you. It's his whole deal. He's an erotic.
Well, I was just going to say that. The thing was, I didn't really know him that well as an artist. And then once this thing kind of flared up, I was like, oh, what's going on? And looking into it and looking into him. And he's an Italian erotica artist.
Yes.
That's what he does.
And he's,
for him to do this is really not that weird.
No, it's not like Marvel didn't know when they hired him to do this.
That's the thing.
Well, again, but at the same time, I feel like... And yeah, that is true. It's, you definitely question, like, was it really appropriate to hire an erotic artist to do that sort of a thing for, comics that aren't erotic comics, you know what I mean? Like, considering the way he draws. At the same time, though, I feel like there are plenty of artists who have done erotic work like that and have also done sort of mainstream work and are able to adjust their content and style accordingly.
Right. Well, there's
and
that.
He adamantly refuses to do that.
If that's where you come from. But then there's also the idea of comic artists who are comic artists and have nothing to do with erotica that are doing much more harsh and blatantly sexualized things. Milo, okay, there was the flare-up in the mainstream media, and it was in all these different books and, like, Entertainment Weekly and like, periodicals and magazines and websites and blah, blah, blah. And people were like, hey, what is this? Like, this is... And the picture itself that everybody was focusing on was Spider-Woman crawling up and over edge of a building towards the viewer, and it's kind of a lower view. And it was commented on because she... Like, technically, it's... Well, okay, here's... There was actually two problems with that everybody complained about.
Right.
They said, anatomically, it's incorrect, and that's bad drawing.
Okay.
And then, two, the hypersexualization of it.
Right.
Yeah.
One, I don't agree with. Like, it's, you know what? It's really... It's not...
anatomy
that's
is...
a fine line, and you could look through comics, and you can see bad anatomy through 50...
And again, even, like, stylistically exaggerated anatomy that... makes for good art sometimes.
Exactly.
So
in the end, it's art and it's...
Yeah.
And then in itself, when they said that and I looked at it and I was like, no, it isn't. It's actually correct. It's awkward, but it's correct. That there's really
nothing... Like somebody could technically...
Somebody could technically do
that. Could technically do that.
But it's very awkward.
They'd be very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
If you do lean over that much, you do present.
Yes.
Right? Well,
and in this case, to the entire city of New York.
Yeah. And then the second part was that it was hypersexualized.
Which is just obviously true.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you look at that, that's a porn pose.
And it's been that, and then it's been the reaction to that and the back and forth from industry people, like media, just regular folk, readers, whatever. The way I didn't know anything was going on until I follow a couple people on Facebook, and I won't mention their names, but there's comic artists of varying caliber and notoriety.
Yeah.
Like some independent and some who are quite well known. And a couple of them all posted something about it kind of in the same day, and they were reacting to it, and they were all in support of Manera. Manera's responded to it, and he's Italian. So this is all through freetranslation.com. It was an Italian to English translations because he did this interview in an Italian magazine. So it was like redone for English magazines through freetranslation.com.
I'm really surprised that we as a community couldn't spring for a professional translator.
I know.
I've read this thing and it's like, what?
I know. It's a little odd. But so there might be little variants, but basically you get the gist of what he's saying. By reading on the internet, I saw that the criticisms have two different reasons. A is the side erotic and sexy. See, that doesn't even make sense. The other is the anatomical error. Now, on the incompetence in the drawing, I don't know what to say. Let's say that I try to do my best for 40 years. He's been doing art for quite a while.
Yeah.
This is not some young kid that's just started. Nobody is perfect. I can make mistakes. Simply, I am a professional. Then I do my best. Totally agree. Whatever.
Sure.
Like, just on that stance? Yeah.
Well,
from the other context. You know what? Like, he's going to do what he's going to do, and if you don't like it, sorry. Like...
I mean, there's a lot of artists that, yeah, where, again, like, the anatomy might not be bang on correct, but it's, you know, that's fine. It can be.
You talk about me?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Awkward. Okay, then he continues. On the erotic side, on the other hand, I found the thing a little surprising. Apart from the fact that there is a compulsory... prerequisite to do, it seems to me that both in the United States and in the rest of the world, there are things much more important and serious you have to deal with. The facts of Ferguson or the drama of Ebola. That there are people that with the translation, it sounds weird. I am not reading this incorrectly. That there are people that if the take for things like, that doesn't make sense, unless there is, in these times, a hypersensitivity to images more or less erotic due to this continuous comparison that we are called to do with Islam. Where is that from?
Because, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's like somebody criticized my artwork, and so shut up, because Ferguson and Ebola and Islam.
Like, yeah, but what about that over there?
Yeah,
look behind you.
And he continues, we know that the censure of the woman's body should not be a characteristic our Western. Again, doesn't that's wow. probably translation. It is also this that I am surprised enough. It's awkward, but you basically get the gist of it. And yeah. it's the deflection. And it's sure. like, oh, well, this isn't that important. Let's look at this.
I did read another comment. I don't know if it's in there or not. I don't know if it was the same interview or what have you, but there was some comment about how, you know, women are, like, it kind of seemed like a backwards kind of sexist comment about how, like, how, you know, women, it's like women always inspire people with their sexiness. It was kind of his whole deal about that.
I saw another article posted as Minera blames God. Well, that's how we made them, so that's how I'm going to do
it. Yeah, I think that was like, okay, whatever. It seemed like that's
I normally blame God for my sexiness, go. But
hey,
whatever.
Hey, what do you say, God? Keep up the good work.
Just a thumb.
But to go back to the Facebook thing, where I saw this originally, everybody that I saw posting about it was supporting that issue, and they were reiterating his comments about, well, yeah, let's focus on things more important like Ferguson and Ebola and blah, blah, blah. Right.
We've spent the last 3 weeks dumping buckets of ice water on each other's heads.
Exactly.
Yeah.
To cure a disease that half of us don't know what it is.
But it's all about awareness.
Hey, are you aware?
Exactly. We'll get into that. I can go on an hour-long rant.
We've got lots of problems. I think maybe, like, we don't have to focus on one at a time because that's...
Oh, yeah, that's a very fair point, because, again, like, it's by that logic, you can't,
you can't say anything.
You can't say anything about anything.
It's like, hey, I have a head wound, but my foot is also asleep. You can wake up your foot and bandage your head.
Yeah. Again, people are dying in the world, yes. It doesn't mean, like, oh, so now you cannot talk about, like, you know, sexism, you cannot talk about racism.
Let's put everything else on the back burner.
Exactly.
We've got to take care of racism. Then we can deal with the other stuff.
Yeah. Only one thing at a time.
Yeah.
There's a...
Everybody focus on this.
Yeah.
I have another quote. Yeah, I'm going to have tons of quotes for this one. The Mary Sue was one of the ones that kind of was heading this charge.
Yeah.
And just kind of pointing out this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Jill Pentozzi, who's the editor-in-chief of the Mary Sue, replied to this, like, responded to this comment that he made, saying, this line of argument assumes people can only be concerned about one thing at a time and is meant to derail, whether on purpose or not, an otherwise worthy topic of discussion. Which I thought was a nice, short way of just saying, like, this is ridiculous. You're just trying to, like, look over here. You can't do this. Of course you can multitask and be worried about more than one thing.
Of course.
Of varying degrees of importance and severity.
And again, it's a go-to kind of argument with people who don't want to have to address something that maybe isn't easy for them to address.
That they just don't support. And then it's like, oh, yeah, we just won't.
I think if you immediately say, like, well, why are we talking about this when this goes wrong? I think that sort of... part of that logic means you do... There's a part of you that has to know that there's validity to the criticism, though, because you're trying to deflect away from it, and you're sort of comparing it. So you got to know there's something ain't quite right with what you're trying to defend.
That's a pretty good point.
Yeah. So, you know, the one trying to deflect from that, maybe think a little bit on that one.
Yeah. I'm just going to read you the Facebook posts. The ones that actually... first draw my attention, because I didn't know anything about it, and then I see this, and I was like, oh, what is this? One was, wow, can't believe how many people are freaking out about this Spider-Woman cover from Milo Manera. I personally don't think it's great, but I don't find it offensive unless you stare at her butt. Bracket. I know it's very obvious, but man, you should see some of the old covers Marvel did back in the day, and this is tame in comparison. What do you think?
I think... Kinda... They did bad stuff in the past, too. That doesn't make stuff that they're...
There was also slavery in the past. That doesn't mean that you can just continue on with it. It's like, that doesn't excuse it. I think we're at a point where it's just coming to the forefront again.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like this is anything new, like we were saying at the start. This is something that's continually ongoing.
It does...
It's been a thing that keeps rearing its head, and people... I think it's been getting better in very small little baby steps.
Yeah.
Like, comparatively, like you said, to the 70s. Yes, there were blatant stuff, but there's still blatant stuff.
Yeah.
So...
But it does feel like, you know, if it's just comic culture or, you know, quote-unquote nerd culture as a whole, we're sort of kind of... We kind of cross a certain threshold where, you know, if you do something... or you know, say something or what have you that rubs people the wrong way, you're definitely, and again, it's the internet too, right? Yeah. It makes that easier, but it's like, it's not something you can just sort of push out there and it goes unnoticed.
Hmm.
Yeah. Again, like if something bothers people, and again, like, it's not
everybody
as if
has a voice now, and everybody can see what your voice is and respond to it.
And it's not as if it's just like a handful of people, because it wouldn't have gotten widespread the way it did if it wasn't, if a lot of people didn't agree, if a lot of people weren't sort of like, hey, this isn't, you shouldn't, you know, I mean, like, there's a problem here. So, I mean, it's really weird. It feels like sometimes that there's sort of that new, I don't know if it's like an old guard, new guard kind of a thing, but there's sort of like, there's sort of like maybe more of a head in the sand kind of.
Yeah, it's like, well, this worked for me my whole life. Why isn't it still working now? And that's come up, we were talking about it before the show, but that's come up in video games.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, forever, especially in the past 5 years, but, you know, in the past week, and there was a thing with some punk bands saying things that were misogynistic and homophobic, and it's really sad to see these people who've been around for a long time, and it's like, oh, some of your views are really shitty.
Yeah.
That's kind of a real bummer.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, again, it's sort of something that maybe was easier to sort of just, was maybe more just casually accepted, or just more, just sort of easier to kind of get away with in the past. And again, you did mention video games, and it's not our topic, but it's you know, it's still sort of kind of, whatever, like a geek culture kind of thing.
Hey, I play video games. You play video games?
Yeah. Less and less, but, yeah. And you know, if anyone's unfamiliar with that, which I'm sure everyone's familiar with what's going on there, but, we have the Feminist Frequency videos, by Anita Sarkeesian, which are awesome, which are really, really good, like, really fair and actually, like, logical and, like, measured and make a very good point about, like, just rampant sexism in the game industry. And, yeah, so she makes, she didn't even have to make them. She was just raising money on, like, Kickstarter to do it.
Yeah.
And she was getting just the most horrific harassment and threats, and like death threats and rape threats. And yeah, every time it seems she puts a video out, there's a certain segment of that population of the whatever, that gamer culture, who are just going after her like it's war. And just the mere, and again, just the mere concept of like saying like, hey, you know, like this thing you like has some real problems with how it represents more than 50% of the population of the planet.
How dare you be a person?
Yeah, exactly. And it's, and you know what I mean? Like, and it gets worse and worse. You have, like, again, I think her name is Janelle Aslin. There's the whole thing about that Teen Titans cover.
Oh, right.
Where it had Wonder Girl. I think there was Janelle Aslin. I'm sorry if I got it wrong, but where it had Wonder Girl with many things wrong.
That whole cover was a big hot mess.
But she was the one who criticized it, and it was just like, again, like just the level of like hatred and harassment and threats she received simply for saying, hey, you know, maybe that's not how you should be representing, like, a 16-year-old girl on the cover of a major comics publication. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you shouldn't be sexualizing a 16-year-old girl like that, which is a very fair point. And again, I read that article, and I was just like, oh, yeah, that's fair. I mean, like, she wasn't trying to, like, you know, burn anybody. She was just trying to point something out that should be self-evident to pretty much anyone who.
So she's a reviewer and a critic, and she was reviewing and criticizing something.
Yeah, exactly.
And she got and shit on for it, and threatened, and
And I mean, not even, again, it's not even just, like, say, people being like, oh, I don't see the problem with this, which, okay, whatever, you're entitled to that opinion. But increasingly, it's just, you can't even say something without being, again, you have people that are being threatened. You have, again, like, if we go back to the video game thing, like, they're like, basically, like, private investigating and finding people's addresses and, like, posting those and encouraging people to physically harm people for saying, hey, maybe video games could be better than they are right now. Hey, maybe comics could be better than they are right now. If you have to risk that kind of response, I mean, like, there's something seriously wrong in what, you know.
I think that part of it, that's almost a separate issue of just,
it is.
I call it internet culture. That's not really what it is, but it's part of that. Mm. Or it's just, you feel like you're anonymous, but you're not, and you can call out anybody, and it becomes like trolling to the nth degree that you think it's okay to do this stuff. There's one of the quotes I found that really stuck out to me was Amy Reeder, who's the Rocket Girl artist.
Oh yeah,
she's great. She had this fairly short and succinct response, but this was just part of it. And she kind of led up to this, and I think this is pretty much what she closed with. The word that changes everything for me is personhood. Does this woman seem like a person? Do they have life breathed into them, a personality, or are they an object? Do they feel manufactured or repetitive? Would guys who like this appreciate that I am a living, breathing woman, or would they complain I talk too much? And I think that's kind of the weird balance that we're approaching now, that it's not so much just the visual representation of it. It's comics. There's always going to be a sexual nature to it, both male and female. It's got to have that balance of an actual character, yeah. And then not going too far with the visual thing. Like, it is visual, but it's also the character itself.
And I feel like the quote there kind of sums it up really well, yeah. I think, in a way, because it's like, yeah, if there being a sexual nature to something, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that necessarily.
No.
But it can't be all there is to it. It can't be, you know what I mean? Yeah, because it...
Then you have to be in a different medium, almost. Like, this is, or in a... You can't take a mainstream Marvel comic, Spider-Woman, and make that a sexual nature thing.
Well, remember that that Spider-Man cover where he was presenting his ass?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
That was another thing I was thinking about.
Not often a pose where you really do see Spider-Man. You see him crouched, you see him doing this and that, but it's that specific pose that I don't think I've ever specifically seen Spider-Man take.
You know what's funny? There was, and I'm not going to name names here, but... there was a certain writer.
George Bush.
Yeah, a certain writer of a certain profile, anyway, who was basically, in response, it was pretty disappointing, was kind of making that argument. It's like, well, Spider-Man's had that pose before, and it was comparing, I think it was like a J. Scott Campbell cover where he was sort of crushed.
The crack one?
Bit of his,
oh, where he's top and looking
and like all these people in like a web ball.
Yeah,
but I saw like, that one, yeah. They posted the comparison. It's like, those are not actually really the same at all.
But
if you look
really look closely, he's winking under the mask.
Oh, okay.
So it's totally cool.
Yeah. Because, I mean, in one, for example, you have him sort of, like, dominating his enemies and sort of, again, like, he's posed in a way where you can sort of see a bit of his butt. But one, it wasn't, like just being presented up in the air in a really sexual manner. I mean, they were going for him, like, creepily spider-crawling over somebody in a kind of a, like, you know, a dominant way, I guess, is what they were kind of going for in that. That's what it looked like to me.
I've seen this posted recently in response, and I've had a couple of female friends posting the same thing, female artist friends of different media and talents, and it's this one article that's like, okay, let's show the men in a sexual light.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, absolutely. Not that I don't think that they are in their own way. Women have a certain... slant in the media and in comics that it's hypersexualized. Men are like all the characters are idealized, like, but that's, you know, that's across the board, men and women.
The context is often made that it's sorry if I'm stealing your thunder here, but made that, again, like in the way for the male characters, it's usually in more of a power fantasy kind of a way.
You took the words right out of my mouth,
but it's true. And for that, we were both kind of jumping for that.
I want to talk about that thing.
Go down.
No.
I get that, but then how is there, like, how would men be sexualized?
Well, I've got something for you to read, and something for the audience to read. If you just go to Google and type in short-packed...
False equivalency. You can type in false equivalency.
So what did you think of that comic?
No, that's a good point. That's, I don't know, we should... I'm not going to read the comic out, but...
No, but basically, it's basically trying to say
talking about male power... And I do agree.
Mm-hmm. It's why Dick Grayson's the sexiest Batman.
Yeah.
It's very true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, there's, like, the power hoses, and then there's the not. They're not... Yeah, maybe. I am looking at it from a male perspective, so...
There is that, yeah. And again, I think a lot of people do look at it from a male perspective, and they don't... Which is, again, it's a natural thing, and that's fine. It's just sort of a matter of trying to look beyond that, I think.
Yeah.
Just try.
Wait, oh, so, like, seeing it from other people's perspectives.
Yeah!
Imagine that.
There's no word for that, right?
Think so.
Mm. Oh well, forget it.
It's called insanity. Let me jump to this. This is another a quote from. I was looking for this earlier. Kelly Thompson, author at Comics Should Be Good at Comic Book Resources. As sad as it is to hear these statements, and she's responding to Manera's response.
Yeah,
this is a European European man that draws erotica for a living and has for decades. Nothing of this is terribly surprising, and anyone surprised by this is not paying attention. The question shouldn't be, why does Manera draw a Spider-Woman that looks more like a porn star than a superhero? The question also shouldn't be, why didn't Marvel send Manera back to the drawing board when he turned in his work? The question should be, why is this what Marvel wanted in the first place?
Yeah.
And I think that brings up a good point. And it's something that, obviously, this has been coming up for decades. It kind of flares up and goes down, flares up and goes down, and everybody responds to it. I think we're at a unique point in history and time, and just in terms of equality and in terms of being aware of other people and how they respond to things, that this might be a turning point, I think. Again, yeah. In a personal perspective, maybe this... Yeah.
Well,
they might have said that 30 years ago. Oh, this is the time. The same thing, but...
Well, it's, again,
these are the days.
Yeah.
You look
for a turning point. I mean, it's really just a lot of really small ones that hopefully get you somewhere better, which... And I would say that I think maybe part of the reason, at least as far as, like, you know, fans and the industry and stuff are concerned, the reason why that one specifically caught fire like it did, is because Marvel has actually had a pretty decent track record lately.
Yeah.
They've really been going out of their way to, like, put out really good comics with female protagonists that are fully realized characters that aren't sexualized.
That was one of the things that I saw in another...
In another
article, that was one of the questions, was like, are we reacting to this right now because Marvel is doing so well with a lot of their female characters, and this just seems like a step backwards.
Right.
And I hadn't thought of it that way, but I was like, oh, you know what? That makes a lot of sense.
The weird part for me is, I mean, again, I read a lot of those. Those are some of my favorite comics right now. It's like Captain Marvel and like Black Widow and Ms. Marvel and She-Hulk and stuff like that. Yep. Those are just all across the board excellent comics. I love them. And I didn't even realize that Spider-Woman was coming out until this controversy hit. And the minute I did, I mean, like, again, it was sort of like, yeah, that cover is like, again, it's... very, very poor choice across the board. But
this is the variant cover.
But Greg Land.
It's Greg Land.
Yay!
Should we talk about that?
Let's go to Greg Land.
Yeah. All aboard the train to Greg Land.
Not the first time.
Oh God! All of the faces look the same!
Okay, let me jump to another quote that... is from the same author, Kelly Thompson. The problem is not the Manera variant that nobody has to buy. The problem is that the regular cover is by Greg Land, and the book will have Greg Land interior art as well. For the uninitiated, the complaints about Land's work range from that he's a rampant tracer, swiper, recycler, to the fact that much of what he traces in photo reference is porn. Porn has its place, but it's not in mainstream superhero comics.
Hey,
good point.
Your MILF's a tracer. That's a double reference.
There we go. But yeah, then that's a fair point again, because he's, you know, all of his female, not so much right now, because I've heard that he's gotten a little bit better in recent years.
Has he?
I haven't seen it. And the Greg Land problem is a problem for me specifically, because I just won't buy anything that he draws. They announced that Mighty Avengers comic. I think Al Ewing was writing, and it was like Luke Cage leading, you know.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, okay. Like, I looked at that. I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Maybe I'll check that out based on hearing about it. And then Greg Land was the artist. I was just like, no, thank you. And again, that's a comic I was legitimately interested in reading, and I chose not to specifically because I just cannot stand Greg Land.
It's like, oh, all of a sudden, Luke Cage really looks a lot like Jaleel White. It's interesting.
Yeah. And we've all seen examples of his art, crazy. Where, again, it's like he cuts and pastes, like, parts of different porn stars together to make, like, a porn star Frankenstein. And guess what? That's also Sue Storm now.
Yeah. Frankenhooker.
Porn star Frankenstein, you say?
Yeah. Porn star Frankenstein.
I've got some Googling to do, but first, safe search on.
Well, that's...
If somebody else coined that term for Greg Land's work, then we will definitely credit them on the Tumblr post.
Porn star Frankenstein.
Yep.
That is what you...
But again, you see, like, the same faces, and again, they're very clearly, like, exaggerated, sexualized, like, porn traces, and it's just, like... And these are, like, again, like, you're talking about, they're supposed to be, like, powerful... superheroes, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And it's shocking that he's gotten away with that for so long.
in some of these articles I've read, I've seen them almost saying the exact same thing that you did, was, you know what, I collect all these books, and then when I see a new book coming out, oh, hey, what's, and I was excited that this was coming out, and they were specifically saying, oh, Spider-Woman, I love that character.
Yeah.
I'm super excited. Oh, shit, Greg Land's drawing it. I will not collect a Greg Land book.
Right.
Period. Done. I will not. And they're like, you know what, there's like a handful of artists that I will boycott. Right. If you, I don't know, they didn't use that term, or maybe they did, but just, I'm just not going to support their work.
It's, and again, like, it, considering the track record, again, you have, you know, you have, like, Phil Noto drawing Black Widow again,
Okay.
Javier Pulido, and,
this will be my last quote.
Oh, yeah!
I have, like, two pages of quotes. This will be the last one. This is the biggest one, but it actually, it's again, by Kelly Thompson. She says, since we're focused on art for our purposes today, let's quickly summarize the art in Marvel's current female-led books.
Yeah.
They each have impressive artists known for their accomplished and well-considered work. In fact, there's not a cheesecake or controversial artist among them. They also represent awesome diversity when it comes to execution. Phil Noto's Black Widow is a realistic but effortlessly loose watercolor style that highlights Natasha's gift for violence and her humanity in equal measure. David Lopez's Captain Marvel is a classic superhero style with an emphasis on smart design and strong emotional beats. Mike Del Mundo's Elektra is a highly rendered painted style, showing off an understanding of Elektra as a fighter in a way that we have not seen since Bill Sienkiewicz's revolutionary work on Elektra Assassin. Javier Peludo's She-Hulk is flat, cartoonish, and wonderfully exaggerated, focusing largely on Jennifer's sense of humor and the bizarre dualities of her life. Victor Ibanez's Storm is traditional comic book style, anchored in real-world problems, and with Storm meticulously rendered to feel like an incredibly well-developed person rather than a superhero meets supermodel caricature, or worse, an untouchable and unrelatable goddess. While Adrian Alfano's Miss Marvel is a visual smorgasbord of unique characters we never see in comics and capitalizes beautifully on his heroine's highly creative power set and creative mind. Which, yeah. Like, that's comparatively to, like, 10 years ago and beyond.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty incredible. Impressive what they're doing. And they're actually, and that's the thing I like, and she actually brought it up, that it's, they're all unique artists. Not just doing, right. Here is your John Byrne approach to drawing people, sort of. Yeah. Like, in there, it's not the strict, like, straight-ahead approach.
But it's not house style.
It's totally, yeah.
But, I mean, what you have in that selection of characters, like those six or seven characters there, is that's a very diverse...
It's a total cross-section of...
Like, and those characters are very diverse. They're very... Yeah. Each one of them is very different from the other in a lot of... You know, they're very strong characters. They're great. And, I mean, again, like...
Some that have been around for forever, some that are fairly new. Like,
yeah. And again, the art, again, that made an excellent point, is that the art on those books really represents them very well, I think. Yeah. And yeah, it's really, it seems like a lot of care and a lot of actual attention went into getting it right.
That's, well, those. That was, in, and I didn't print that in her next paragraph, she was like, and if you don't realize how difficult that is and how rare that is
right.
for a major house to have that many characters... That many specifically chosen artists that can pull off that sort of approach, you're not paying attention. Like that's so rare and so fantastic.
Yeah,
and it is. That's the way it should be going, and it's a good direction and a good beginning. And
that's the main reason I'm reading a ton of Marvel lately. Like I'm kind of amazed sometimes how much Marvel I'm reading, but it's because again, like so many of their books. I mean, like. And specifically, I mean, like, great, like, the female-oriented, the female protagonist characters, which has been a great to actually get that kind of attention there.
Can I say, until hearing that last quote, I didn't know that there was a Storm book.
Oh, it's now, awesome.
Just started.
I gotta freaking read the Storm book.
Yeah. So. Well, the only two issues are out so far.
Yeah, just
kidding. And I'm reading it. I can lend you those.
I'm just saying. I'll read it over your shoulder.
Sure. Yeah, it's, I think, Greg Pak is writing it. And it's, they've been great.
It was on my list, and I was like, my reading list has expanded quadruply in the past year. I didn't notice until I went to the comic store this week. I go on Wednesday, and I was like, what's, and I look up what's coming up, and I have to go pick up, and I look online, and I'm like, shit, I have like 10 books.
Yeah.
And it's like
you brought a wagon with you.
Yeah, it's like this is getting a little much.
I can't even. I can't even tell you how many I'm reading. But yeah, it's increased a lot lately.
Like, for me to have like in 1 week to pick up 10 comics is really rare. Like, you know, you would get those weird weeks where I have a couple weeks and there's nothing, and then all of a sudden 1 week, bam, everything's there. Like, shit. Okay, I'll do that. I'll bite the bullet, and then because I know
good thing I've been saving these previous weeks because that's what I do. I totally do that.
But well, yeah. Then I. But the thing is, like, that's not what this was. This was just a slightly heavier week. It was a slightly heavier, but not that much heavier. Usually, I'm getting like 4 or 5 books a week, and like.
I had that moment where I had just 1 week's like one release dates full of stack or something pretty recently, and I looked at it and was just like, have I not been in here for a month? And then I realized, like, yeah, like a year ago that might have been the case, and now it's just again, there is just a ton of great stuff out right now.
There is, and you know what, and I have to say, like, a lot of it is Marvel. I don't collect any DC. I've actually axed all my DC now. The past couple of months. I was only doing, it was Phantom Stranger and Justice League Dark. And I almost jumped back on Justice League Dark this week because it was like a Dead Man centered thing. And I was like, oh, I love Dead Man. But I'm like, fuck, I can't throw another one in the mix. But it's a lot of like Image and Dark Horse and Independent and things which far more part of the mix than has been in ever.
Look at the.
And I blame you, Todd, for several of them. Oh, no, I am getting a DC one. DC, Todd introduced me to G.I. Zombie.
Yeah.
Oh.
I haven't read it, but he was pitching it.
Yeah. He goes, oh, you might like this, and he shows me. And you got to look at the interior art. It's a Darwin Cook cover, but the interior art is beautiful.
I'll give this to Todd at Comics Plus. See, he's a good salesman because it was the same. He opened it up and he showed me the same way too. And I was just like,
he does that for everyone. Cool. I don't feel as special.
That looks cool. No, it might just be us. I think we get a zero issues treatment.
I didn't realize that Todd was our sponsor.
He's mentioned in every episode. This episode of Zero Issues is brought to you by Todd.
That was I think it was 2 episodes ago. The one that was the first movies episode.
Oh yeah,
Patton Oswalt's Long Man Dick was originally titled Todd's Knuckle Cookies.
You know what? Whenever we share, like you post them, it's one of the two you will post.
Yeah,
it's posting. Mainly.
I sleep in till about 11.
So. Oh, yeah, I mean, you post it on Tumblr.
Yep, right.
So you'll post it on Facebook.
That's the least of the effort. So.
But then you make a little blurb, and then I usually, I'll sit down and I'll listen to the whole thing, and I'll make
You open your window and you're like, hey, Todd! Todd!
I make little notes of, like, just the weird jokes or whatever that pop up.
Yeah.
And then I'll share it, like, on my page and nowadays a couple podcast pages and stuff. And it was actually one of them I mentioned was, I'm like, Brian goes on a rant about, tears a new one for the Turtles and Knuckle Cookies. And that was one of the ones I included. I was like, that was awesome. I'm just going to make a shirt that says Knuckle Cookies.
When's his birthday? When's your birthday, Todd?
He can answer us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's here.
I feel like we should have some sort of a walkie-talkie situation with him at this point.
Like two cans on a string?
Yeah.
Girls are gross. Let's draw their butts. You guys, we're evil, but should we be that evil?
That's exactly what Milo Manara sounds like.
Oh. Again, he might be a nice enough fella on his own or something.
You know what I say to him?
You are a douchebag.
I also say,
look like an ass. You sound like an ass. Everything that comes out of your ass face is ass.
You're an ass.
Everything that comes out of your ass face is ass.
Okay.
Your face is an ass, and an ass comes out.
Well, shooting tinier asses, it's like those, the Easter Island head that shoots tinier Easter Island heads in the Gradius games.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's just what I was gonna say.
No.
There's a reference.
So, where do you think we go from here? In terms of comics in representing, like, Marvel is doing a good job.
Yeah, I mean, overall. Yeah.
Overall, I think, except this might be a setback. Not that that's going to happen. You're not going to suddenly, everything is perfect and rosy.
It is a slow progression. I mean, you're trying to slowly climb, kind of a mountain, however you want to turn that into a stupid, terrible metaphor.
The question which would be easy to ask in an ideal world would be, how do we keep people from fucking up? It's like, unfortunately, people are going to fuck up.
But the thing is, you're dealing in a matter of opinions. So is it a matter of fucking up? Or is it, like, it's all degrees.
Yeah.
It. Like, it's not right. Like a black... It's very, very much not a black and white thing. Like, this is wrong, this is right. And there is variance right, in there. Between that. And that's... It's, like, how far to go and how not to go. And then it's also... And the thing is, And like I said earlier, this is what brought it to light to me, was the Facebook post of artists that I follow and respect, some more than others. Like, some of them are independent ones, and I'm like, I don't really like your art. Whatever, I'll follow you. You're kind of an interesting guy. And then I'm not really surprised that you responded that way, and you're like, oh, there's more important things that we should be talking about, blah, blah.
Right.
Her
right.
ass is fine. But then there are artists who I actually...
With, like, 15 eyes.
Yeah, exactly. And then all of their responses, everybody's response, everybody who's following them or friends with them, all the same shit.
Yeah.
And it was all that response. And I was like, fuck, really? There was a couple of them that, like, I actually really dig their artwork and respect their stuff. Like, they're really kind of groundbreaking sort of things. And it really disappointed me to see that these couple of artists were like, this is a non-issue, blah, blah. Like, wow.
The thing is, I mean, if you have something that is a status quo, I mean, it might, and again, there might be a lot of people that honestly could pretty, you know, maybe it wouldn't be that difficult to sort of kind of open, broaden the horizons a bit or sway them.
Open a dialogue and whatever, and then...
But there's always so a lot of, like, kind of an entrenched opposition to anything that kind of challenges a certain status quo. Yeah. Even when, again, you're at the point here, look at comic sales. Look at how comic sales are now compared to what they were, like, in the past, right? I mean, like, it's tiny. Like the actual amount of, like, issues being sold, like, traditionally... It's maybe better than it was a few years ago, but I mean...
Well, it ebbs and flows, and that's...
Yeah, but it's become more of like a niche kind of a thing, and I mean, you know, kind of trying better to represent a wider market than, you know, 20, you know, or whatever, dudes.
it has gotten to the point where it's like, I don't need to read the comics. I'll just go see the movies, because that's a whole separate thing.
For sure.
Now that you bring that up, that's a good segue to kind of an expanded part of it, where it's... Marvel is doing really well with their movies, but the thing is, there's all this. I keep seeing this posted over and over again about, like, should there be a female-led movie, like a female solo movie? Like, is Black Widow ready? And it just seems, I know, and it just seems like
she's been around longer than half of the other characters.
Exactly.
Look at the again.
It just seems like a non-issue to me that it was like, are we even like? Why is this even?
The Avengers,
like, the idea of just bringing it up. Yeah. Okay, I get it. But, like, the idea of actually, like, oh, I don't know if it's really time. Are the movie people kind of humming and hot? Like, what? Like, of course.
Here's the thing. That's a good character, and there's enough sort of backstory and depth sort of really strongly hinted at in the Avengers and the Winter Soldier that would easily carry a good movie.
Yeah.
And two, like, she was the lead of Lucy that actually did pretty well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, make that movie right now, guys. What are you doing? Make a Black Widow movie right now. Do it.
Maybe write it first. You know what's funny?
But I want to see another Thor movie.
I mean, so do
you
I.
can have them. Yeah, yeah, but that's the thing. It's not like you have one or the other.
That voice made you assume I was joking. I do want to see it.
Oh, of course.
It's funny that you bring up Lucy, because I've seen a lot of people bring that up, and I was like, why are we even... Like, I understand the reason for bringing that up. Okay, look, it's the same actress. She can carry an action movie.
Yeah.
But this is not like female-led action movies or whatever are not something that have a huge history already.
No, and that's...
It's been... I think the groundwork's been laid. This is why I'm so baffled why this is even a question.
Yeah.
Like, just fucking make a movie already.
Oh, totally.
Like, especially Black Widow, you've already established the character, you've already created it, like, she had a huge part in Captain America 2.
Oh, totally. Yep. And like, again, like, she was, like, basically co-lead of that movie for sure.
Exactly.
Like,
and then just the way that Marvel does their movies, it's not going to be her by herself anyway in a movie. So it becomes a slightly ensemble, but she is the focus.
Have Black Widow. The movie is just called Black Widow. Have Hawkeye in there, too.
I was just going to say, you throw Hawkeye in Hawkeye's there as the sidekick, and...
I'll gladly watch that movie.
Yeah,
I was thinking, take the events of Cap 2 and take Black Widow and have her focus on that sort of stuff. Because it's already underground, you know, Hydra hunting stuff.
Yeah.
You put her in there, put in Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
Sure.
I think it's almost natural just to do the history thing. Because it's been hinted at, like you're saying, so much.
And I think there's, between
her and Hawkeye.
Do you mean, like, in terms of a prequel sort of thing?
I don't think it has to be a prequel. I think maybe it could be addressing, her whole thing is sort of trying to make amends for stuff, and that could be the movie. And you could even tie that into the Hydra thing and have it connect in a way, like these movies do. And you could have, again, like just based on that little non-actual plot, just a brief idea, it's like, hey, guess what? Just take that. Make a good movie, because you could. Yeah. It wouldn't even be hard.
And not that there aren't other... I would love to see a Captain Marvel movie, and Katie Sackhoff has to play her.
Are you kidding?
Like, that's not... And I can't believe that...
There is talk.
There is talk, but there isn't talk. It's rumors, but then she actually countered it and said...
It wasn't Marvel.
No, it wasn't Marvel.
That's not even... Yeah.
Oh, and that makes me so angry, because she's... Like, there are rumors that
without spoiling anything necessarily, because there's rumors, but there's rumors that, yeah, there are plans for that character, and very soon.
Yeah.
And, again, the mere fact that, you know what I mean, like... It could be very easy for her to lie about that one thing, to sort of tweak the fans a little bit.
I hope it is. She's, like...
People have been clamoring for that forever.
And as an actress, she just has the gravitas and just the physical presence to totally pull that off. I can walk up and I can kick your ass. Sorry. And she has...
Sorry, not sorry.
Carol Danvers, let's do this.
Yeah, totally.
Carol Danvers is one of those characters that I've just, like... I love, and I mean, I didn't really, I don't have a lot of history with that character. Like, I know she used to, you know, I know her as, like, Ms. Marvel back in the day, and I will say that costume change did a lot.
And it did a lot. I still really enjoy Ms. Marvel. I picked up several of the trades, and I really dug the book, and I remember her with the Avengers when I was collecting as a kid, and I was like, I actually... really enjoyed the character. I was like, if you could bring her in more, that would be great.
I was reading in, like, the Heroes Return period there, like, Kurt Busiek and George Perez, which we might have discussed George Perez before. But anyway, it was that period where she lost her binary powers, and she just became an alcoholic, and it was not a great use of her character. Far from the worst use of her character, but, you know, that's a long time ago. But at the same time...
Is that when she was raped by that cosmic entity?
If you want to be blunt with it, then that did happen. Anyway, but that costume with, again, is sort of like wearing the typical sort of female character costume, classic one, where they're basically just wearing like a one-piece swimsuit.
Yeah.
Check out my bathing suit. I also got boots.
Yep, thigh-high boots and stuff. Which is funny how that, you know, in Ms. Marvel, that sort of factored in a lot as sort of being... like, that imagery they're kind of played with a little bit, you know what I mean? With Kamala sort of looking at that, like, oh, that's what you're supposed to be. And there's definitely some commentary there, how, like, she ends up accepting, you know, who she is, which is a better look and a better design, right?
Yeah.
And actually, the new Captain Marvel's costume, and wasn't the Ms. Marvel one, were they both designed by Jamie McKelvey?
I have no idea.
Let's say yes.
I think they were.
I agree.
Because someone suggested it on the internet.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a really well designed. That costume, and they're both excellent. I love the
Mohawk
thing. I think that's such a cool
thing. I've said it before, and I goddamn will say it again. It's even closer than we've ever had to a Captain Marvel costume looking like Marvel Man. It's basically just a Marvel Man costume, but badassed up.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting. Because it feels like sometimes if you try to progress something, sometimes in comics in general, there is sort of an entrenched, things just sometimes tend to go back to what they used to be.
It's
yes, there is a sort of, okay, this is the iconic thing, this is this is what it was, you know, for 30 years, so...
You're not going to change anything in one...
It hasn't been that in 20 years, but, you know, before that. It's you know, Barry Allen versus Wally West.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Even design-wise, though, I mean, you see... I think there was a Comics Alliance post recently that was sort of talking about really good character redesigns. Mm-hmm. I think it was just posted today or yesterday. And one of them they had was Moon Knight, and he has his, in the current look, where his main look is just like a white suit. He's got the mask, yeah. And he's got like a white suit, but their argument is that, and it's a good argument, is that it kind of makes him more distinct than like that, you know, the hooded, you know, I'm Marvel's Batman, cowl. Except I'm all white look did. And like, and then sort of saying like, oh, I hope that sticks around, and I had that, you know, and I was sort of looking at that, I was like, oh, that's, you know, me too, I really like that look, but... It feels like, yeah, the second that direction ends, which it will at some point, somebody's just going to put him back in a classic costume.
Right.
And I, you know what I mean?
But the thing is, he is. It depends on where you read him.
Yeah.
In his own
book.
He has
different looks for different reasons.
Yeah, in his own book, he's got the
suit thing. Slightly redesigned one, yeah. But,
well, but then you see him in, like, in Original Sin.
Yeah.
He's being featured in that little segue story. Sure. And he's got the traditional...
Yeah.
Whenever I see stuff like that, I always assume it's just poor communication between, you know, different books.
I don't know. I guess you always think, once you're at that level, then, okay, Marvel is supplying me with, like, source drawings or something.
Right.
And
now I know everything.
Yeah, and I have
it's all at my fingertips.
I have all the plans, and they just send me, here's a picture of what he looks like in a 360 pose. And
okay, so that's what's going on with Captain America 3 years from now, so
yeah.
I shouldn't do this one thing with him now because it's going to affect this thing 3 years down the line, and then this one guy is going to be really mad about it.
Yeah, exactly.
He might be in this room. Yeah.
Is it Todd?
No.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Doom.
At the Hall of Todd.
If so, I can say one thing, you had said before, we went off another topic and it was a good one, that's cool. But it was all talking about, like, how do you kind of, like,
how do you go from here?
Well, how do you improve things? How do you get better representation? And it's an article, I think, that just went up today on Bleeding Cool, I mentioned. They do their monthly gender crunching, which is basically they're looking at the professionals in comics, like writers, artists, inkers, colorists, editors, everything.
Right.
At, say, like, DC and Marvel, looking at the big two.
Pepsi and Coke.
Yep. And I can tell you, for the month of June 2014, credited creators, editors, professionals, like, credited in comics, at DC Comics, 10.1% were women.
Were women.
As opposed to 89.9% that are men. At Marvel, 12% were women. So... Maybe there's a part of your answer.
I think that's such a... I don't know if that...
I'm not saying
I can't say that would really be the answer, because that's such a small margin. That it's not. If it was like 35%, be like, okay, obviously there's more going on. I think that's almost just a...
It's like, there's the variance. Answer, stupid.
Well, no, I just mean... I mean, you know, the product is coming from overwhelmingly... And, you know, if you look at, like, you know... origin and ethnicity and stuff like that. It's coming from an overwhelmingly white male perspective.
Oh, okay. So I thought you meant, okay, that Marvel is doing better because there's...
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying it's a problem across the board.
Okay, yeah.
I'm saying I think Marvel, you know, in recent years has been much more mindful of that, which is great.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like I said before, if you go on the internet, which I don't recommend it, but if people are talking on this topic pretty much anywhere online, you're going to run into that entrenched kind of, like, you know, the old male kind of fans who don't see there being a problem and are trying to protect their clubhouse. You're going to see
die soon.
there's more to take their place. There's plenty.
And I mean, again, things are
shifting. And
it's
sad to see that it's big, like, you know what, I thought that, like, I'm turning 40 this year. Mm. I've been collecting comics for a very long time.
Yeah.
And I can see the problem with this, and then
yeah.
I see people who are younger than me, like, not seeing the problem with that. I've been, I'm like, wow, really?
We've all been reading comics since we were, like, kids, right? Yeah. Well, anyway, I think that, again, like, if you look at, even if, like, say, Marvel is, again, I think being quite mindful. And again, you see DC, you see the new Batgirl series coming out.
Yeah, that's a good step.
In October.
And it's not like the DC has not had I don't think they've had as many in the forefront as Marvel has. It's just, I think it's been more the characters. Just sure. The way that characters have developed. Like, how many female lead-style characters...
I've DC got another had... short-packed comic to show you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Audience, Google short-packed Starfire.
Oh, yeah, that was depressing. If you want to see a comic that legitimately makes a good point and is funny and also makes you kind of want to cry, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Because it's true. Because, again, you look at Starfire. Look at, like, Harley Quinn, for example, who, like, you know, her iconic costume is covers her head to toe.
Yeah.
And is, like, an actual kind of, like, circus jester costume, and is perfect. And it's like, hey, let's reboot this character, and let's have her in, like, a corset and short shorts.
What about a halter top? Have you considered a halter top? She's still a good character. Like, they didn't change the character, I would say.
No.
But the...
In terms of going to 52, New 52?
Yeah.
I hate that costume is awful.
Well, that was an interesting thing. That was one of the things I came across, was just popped up that was like, here's 10 female characters in their horrible costumes.
Right.
Sort of thing. And I looked through it, and it was like, obviously, everybody knows some of them. And Harley Quinn was one of them. It was the redone version of it. And I was like, oh, Jesus. Like, that's...
Oh, it's a mess.
And it's a mess. And then there's the Power Girl thing with the boob window.
You're right.
That's... Yeah. Okay.
We gotta
find her a good costume so she can get rid of this thing, which is an iconic look.
Yeah. I know, it's become iconic, and you almost can't get away from it, because it's an interesting design, visually, but she actually had a full costume not too long ago.
Yeah.
Then they went, like, pre-52. She had, she was covered.
Okay. They had one post New 52, or at least they
and, had, and post 52.
It was like a weird, like, P symbol.
It was a crazy P.
It looked really bad. It was not a good costume at all. It was terrible.
Instead of a window, you put a P on her boobs.
Good night, everybody.
Make your joke there.
But again, I mean, honestly, you look at, say, like, that Harley Quinn costume and compare that to, say, like, you know, Power Girl. It's like, well, you know, aside from the boob window and not having pants.
And, enormous boobs.
Yeah. I mean, like, you look at the Starfire, look at that New 52 Starfire costume and compared to Power Girl. It's like, yeah, no, Power Girl's doesn't look that bad by comparison. Nice. And that's saying something.
No. Pretty modest.
Yeah. No, really, like, it has its, but at the same time, it's not horrible. There's this, then you get into the corset sort of stuff. And other characters that I'm like, holy Jesus, like, you're not even clothed.
But there's men that are like that. I mean, like, Namor. The Creeper.
What is on the Creeper? What is that thing on his shoulders?
Don't worry about it.
You know what?
Just move on.
That's between me and the Creeper.
The minute we have a Creeper cover in the exact same pose as that Spider-Woman cover...
Oh, he's going to be flipped over.
We've turned a corner.
I'm going to do it.
Do it!
Do it! Oh, yeah, you just put that in my head.
We've inspired something great that will...
I'm going to BC on Monday, but when I get back...
Yeah. Beep. Gotta get on that.
Creeper ass.
Yep.
Gotta get on that creeper ass.
Showing it to Gotham City. Anyway, I mean, it's we're in an interesting stage, I think, in comics history, because, again, I feel like women as fans and as professionals, I mean, it seems like it's such a force right now.
Yeah.
Because, again, like, you have, like, several different, like, sites and blogs and, like, individuals with the following and a voice and, you know what I mean, a lot of, like, oomph behind that. Because, I mean, again, like, this kind of stuff kind of got a signal boost to the point where it became a massive discussion in the industry.
And I think largely because we're at a point in our culture and our society where... like gay and lesbian rights and racial tension, ethnicity, whatever, and proper representation and all that is really at the forefront.
Yeah.
Pardon me. Where it's not just a sideline talk. It's like, okay, we know what we need to talk about this. This is not just an iffy problem.
We can't just pretend that there isn't an issue.
Yeah.
You're like, no, not me. Because, everybody.
Kind of,
you know what? The people that are avoiding it, you are the issue. Sorry.
Exactly.
But you're the ones that need to talk about it, and you need to reference it, and you need to actually address it.
So we're going to lock you in a room.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, you just look at the, you know, we have that sort of, whenever we discuss that online, I mean, there's a lot of sort of... people getting behind that and talking about it and stuff. I think, you know, I'm very interested to see, you know, if they're still keeping track of how many professionals in, like, mainstream comics actually sort of maybe represent. Hopefully it'll be a little closer to actual population representation, yeah. A little bit. Maybe a little bit, like, in a couple of years.
In terms of creators and
yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's an absolute ton of, like, yeah. Just amazingly talented, like, women in comics that, you know, maybe aren't represented there. And, yeah. You know, I'm hoping that that's something that continues to change anyway. And, I mean, again, like, we're having a lot of important discussions, and this might be end up being really, right now, what's happening right now, that's topics that are, you know, the conversation that's happening right now, like, one of the more important turning points in this industry, I hope.
Yeah. So for the record, women comic creators, people working in the field, we got your back. I mean, we ain't much, but, you know, we...
Contact us at Zero Issues.
Oh, God. Yeah.
We like
well,
you.
Well, that was pretty
and
shameless.
We support you.
Nah,
we support you if you make good comics. We support you if you make bad comics, because eventually you're going to get... No, you're going to get better if you keep making comics. That's what somebody told me once, and, like, 10 years later, look at me now. Look at me now.
I can say this.
I'm on top of the world.
Looking at my archives is very painful.
There we go.
Very painful.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
When you do a new update, doesn't it feel really good? It's like, oh, I like this page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was our topic, talking about, you know...
I think that's a good point to
quote. About equal representation and three white dudes.
Three white guys. Wait, but you know what? That's
what? You know...
We are the majority of those readers.
What are we going to do about it? Because we're...
If we're not the ones that are going to respond to it, it's not a matter of women...
Well,
readers, it isn't part of it. It's an all-inclusive thing, but it's like, you know what? It's got to be the white dudes that wake up and go, hey, you know what? This is fucked up.
Whoops. Yeah. Whoops, I fucked up. I gotta change my attitudes about this stuff.
This sure. Goes back to what we were talking about before a little bit with...
Man, I hate white dudes. Anyway, yeah, no, it's, you know, it's a interesting and heavy conversation. And
it is. This is like merely a snippet.
I'm rambling at this point.
It's
but,
a snippet well, of really what we have to talk about. You know, and we will talk on about it again.
I hope we get there, even if a lot of us are dragged kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
Or just left behind. Because, let's be real, maybe... Again, you look at how many, you know, you look at what the comments...
You motherfuckers getting raptured!
Yeah.
Including those douchebags that are on my Facebook. It was really disappointing, I gotta say. That was the thing that I found very disappointing, that it was like, these are the, I don't know them, they're not friends, but they're like...
They're part of your world.
They're part of my closer
world.
You know
who they are.
It's not like I just read it in an article.
We know them very
well. It was like,
well.
I've interacted with them numerous times. And
they're
like,
Steve's a shitbag? Oh, man, I don't like Steve.
You're a
douche. No, Steve's a shitbag.
You're a douche.
And to the point, I mean, like, we're all, again, we're of a certain type of dude. We're all, like, these, like, you know, white dude comic people who've been into this stuff since we were kids. And, I mean, they're, you know... One can make the argument they're, you know, they're just slightly, you know, maybe their attitudes are slightly different than ours, but we have a lot in common with,
yes,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? With people like that who maybe don't quite see the problem or don't want to see the problem or...
Yeah, and you know what I do when I see that? I yell at the computer.
Listen here, I don't know what you're doing. I can only do so much on this end. I need your help here. Little help, assholes.
So who are we?
I am Merc. You can see me at www.mercasylum.ca, Merc on Facebook, or nowadays.
I'm Kyle. You can check my stuff out at skiNinjas.com. Yeah, everything's there, so come on down. I'll see you there.
Get some links and stuff at the top. You should definitely click all them.
Oh, yeah. Portfolio, poetry blog. Because, yeah. Yeah, poetry. Why not?
It's funny poetry.
Yeah, click,
love
click,
it.
Click,
love it. And,
it's all supposed to be dramatic. Oh, fuck.
I love your poetry.
Oh, no.
I do. I love it. My name is Bri Kotick. I do, you can go to welcometohereafter.com and read my comic if you'd be so kind. Bri Kotick, you can type that into your, it's Brykotyk. Just type that into the Googles and you can find me all sorts of places.
And as ever, thanks to Kenneth Merkley.
Yeah, we haven't said thanks to Ken in a while.
You know, we should more often.
We should.
For our Zero Issues theme song, which this guy over here, our own Merc.
Ah.
Merc's aplenty.
He made all the cat sounds.
Yeah. Yep. So him and
squeezing my cat. My cat.
Ah, it took so many takes.
So those two got together and they So Kenneth
McKinney. Yeah. Oh yeah. I did that at his studio and did a great job.
So you look him up, as Ocean City Defender.
Ocean City Defender. You can find that on Facebook. I don't want to say OceanCityDefender.com, but don't quote me.
Yeah.
But you can find. Just do the goggle and you'll find him.
Yep. It's very good stuff, and you. I have a feeling you in particular will enjoy it. You know who I'm talking to.
He has a great new album, Star Tropics, that came out a little while ago. Yeah. Check it out. Great music.
Star Tropics. And again, any album named after one of the best NES games is definitely a must-buy. So get on that.
I'm in one of his videos. All right. Is that it?
All right. So long, everybody. Da-da-da-da. I don't know the way we're making sounds. We're mouthing words while the credits are playing.
Yep. I love how we just go, we're just strictly between, like, someone's dad and, like, you know, just, like, fall down sloppy drunk. Well
Archie, your boys are doing well.
Yep. Okay. Archie, he's met a lot of successful people.
Yes.
He's doing
a lot of adversity in life, but yeah. he's risen to the occasion, as I would say.
You know why that is? Yeah. He has a can-do attitude.
Yeah. Good,
I mean, that's what you really
good need. Raising from the parents too. Yeah, it's a solid household. Anyways.